Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. You know, we have in the monastic tradition, the sadhus will address even little girls as mother. So we wish a happy Mother's Day to all the, from the big ones to the little ones, the old ones to the young ones, all of the women and girls here. Happy Mother's Day from all of us. We're very fortunate that Swami Dayatmananji is here on such a nice day. We had a wonderful retreat yesterday, and today will really be a continuation of that same theme. Many of the things that he raised yesterday, he'll speak about today. So his topic is, are you a Ramakrishna devotee? And Maharaj will be here tonight and tomorrow night, leaving early Tuesday morning. So we'll also have satsang in the evenings when he's here. So Maharaj, please.
Thank you, Bhai. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Pada Padme Tayo Shritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur. As Swami Atmagnananji had just mentioned, today's topic would be a very good continuation of yesterday's topic. Yesterday, we discussed about Sri Ramakrishna as a spiritual practitioner, Sri Ramakrishna as a human being, Sri Ramakrishna as a spiritual practitioner, Sri Ramakrishna as a realized soul, Sri Ramakrishna as an incarnation of God. This is one aspect from the purely spiritual point of view. Sri Ramakrishna as a child, as a husband, as a teacher, as a friend. That's a totally separate issue. Swami Vivekananda had depicted the personality of every avatara, and that applies to Sri Ramakrishna too, in the hymn that we every day sing practically all over the world, beginning with Khandana Bhava Bandhana. This hymn is called Avatara Stotram. It's not Sri Ramakrishna Stotram. It is not a hymn about only Sri Ramakrishna. This is applicable to every incarnation. But I would say it also would apply to every realized soul, because they are the same, as I mentioned yesterday. The difference between a realized soul and an incarnation is not in knowledge, but in power. And why did Swamiji compose this hymn? And why is it being sung all over the world every day? Why? There must be some meaning, because great souls would not do anything just without any purpose. There is a purpose. I think I find it minimum for two reasons, twofold. The first is that the hymn is composed in such a way, by just singing in the way it is supposed to be sung, it has a quietening, calming effect upon the mind. Thereafter, we are supposed to sit and meditate upon God. Before meditation, we are supposed to quieten the mind. And this is also set to chautal. Chautal is something which should never be sung very fast. It should be sung in a particular rhythm. It's a subject all by itself. The effect of good music upon human mind. Even animals are charmed by good music. So as we all know, when Sri Krishna used to play the flute, it used to charm even trees, not to speak of human beings, animals, human beings. But if we have to believe the scripture, even it used to charm the very rivers, the very mountains. Just in passing, I would like to maintain, we normally, from a human point of view, divide existence into two categories, the living and the non-living. Vedanta doesn't. Everything is living because everything is nothing but Brahman, pure consciousness. Where there is existence, there is consciousness and there is bliss, not manifest. That's what we call non-living. Coming back to the point, first reason why Khandana, the very way it is sung, it quietens the mind. But even more important, this describes the characteristics of a great soul, a spiritual personality, let alone incarnation, a very spiritual personality. In that, there is one particular word Swami Vivekananda uses. He Naravara, the best among human beings. Now that's a very wonderful word. Why did Swami Vivekananda use that particular word? After all, Sri Ramakrishna is supposed to be looked upon as a model spiritual being. There is a reason. The reason is any higher development includes the lower developments too. So, the development goes like this: instinct, reason, and intuition. Every realized soul works intuitively. He apprehends truth not by thinking, not by reasoning. We do not have that access. Therefore, we have to reason out. Even our reason is also very faulty, often vitiated by partiality, preferences, likes and dislikes, etc. But these great souls work intuitively, they arrive at truth. But they have to work for a long time. As I was mentioning, intuition includes reasoning also. Let me put it in other words, before a person could become a spiritual aspirant, he should have two developments. First, a mature personality. What did I say? A mature personality. Second, a dharmic way of life. There is no easy way of putting it into English language. It's not merely a righteous way of life, but it is a dharmic way of life. Very briefly, I will explain that word dharma. Dharma is often translated as righteous conduct, duty, etc. It's not only that, it is much more inclusive than this. For example, a child is fed according to his dharma. A sick man is fed according to his dharma. Dharma means what? That which is conducive to good health. A mother will not feed a child the same things as an adult, or the same quantity, or at the wrong times. This topic is very beautifully dwelt in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. What type of food, when, how, and why, these are very elaborately dealt with. But what I wanted to convey to all of us is dharma means even bodily dharma is there. All of our bodies are totally different. The way we could we have strength, the way we prefer, the way we even look. Interesting, you know, we have both two eyes, isn't it? Do you think we use both eyes equally? Do we use both hands equally? Do we use both legs equally? Do we use both brains, both parts of the brain equally? Not at all. There is so much of differences there. The point I wanted to make is, this body is one of the primary instruments for three experiences. Either yoga, or bhoga, or roga. So roga means sickness. So whatever it is, the body must be taken into consideration. Body has its own dharma. And to follow this dharma is a dharmic way of life. But the most important instrument is the mind. In fact, I will be very forthright in saying, so how can I become really spiritual? There is nothing called spirituality. Everything depends upon the mind. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha moksha. Mind alone is the cause of both bondage as well as liberation. There is really no bondage. When there is no bondage, where is the question of liberation? No, it doesn't occur. Then what about all this business? You have all come here Sunday morning, missing so many things perhaps. It is all to deal with mind. So what do I mean? A mature personality is the very first condition. Train the body, train the mind. Then train the life to be led in a particular way as directed by the scripture, and that is called dharmic way of life. A sound psychological mind, a sane, healthy mind, then a healthy way of conduct, and then only spirituality can be built up there. So today's topic, I slightly changed what has been announced. First of all, are you a devotee of Ramakrishna? Forget Ramakrishna. Are you a devotee? Change it. Do not say, are you a devotee? Because we are all doing that one. Am I a devotee? Am I a devotee of God? That would be the topic for today. Before I start, I would like to start divide it into three parts. First of all, what Swami Brahmananji said. Second, what is mature personality? Third, the questions we need to put, the way we need to analyze our conduct. Let me begin with the first part. Swami Brahmanandaji, he was once asked this question, how to step or progress in spiritual life? And he gave a very beautiful reply, might appear to be a bit peculiar, and that is, first be a gentleman, and then we talk about spirituality. Are we gentlemen and gentlewomen? Absolutely, we fall far short of it. So to become a real gentleman or gentlewoman, we need to develop a mature personality. When medicine first started to develop, the only goal was to deal with diseases and help people how to get cured. Then people started, the doctors, etc., started to think, what is the definition of optimum health? It's not merely a negative concept, but a very positive concept. How can a person be considered as a healthy person, having full of energy and making this body into a perfect, good, usable instrument? Similarly, when psychology first started, the first steps were how to cure mental sickness. But later on, humanistic psychologists like Carl Rogers, Abraham Maslow, Karen Horney, Eric Fromm, etc., started to think in a larger terms what is optimum mental health? Who could be considered really a mature person? This was what Sri Ramakrishna, in his own inimitable style, says. There are two types of egos: immature ego and mature ego. The goal of life is to journey from the immature I to the mature I. Kacha ami, paka ami. So I will deal, I will summarize what these psychologists have been talking about, a mature personality. And if we really compare ourselves, perhaps we are nowhere near it. But we have to know. This is the first thing that we know. Before I go into it, I would like to make a statement. It is this, or I would like to put a question to you. Is it possible a person is spiritual and yet mentally sick? Or to put it in another way, can a spiritual person be mentally sick and spiritual at the same time? Or can a mentally sick person ever become, is spiritual at the same time? It is impossible. A mentally sick person cannot be spiritual. If a person is spiritual, he cannot be mentally sick. The reason is very simple. You know, we are always looking beyond, ignoring what is in the front. What is it? We are talking about God, we are thinking about God, but we are not aware what is in front of us. What is in front of us? Early morning, you get up and stand in front of a mirror. What is in front of you? God. Look at your face. Are you happy? You are not happy. That's why, you know, you cover yourself with so many things. I won't go into the details. And then afterwards you think you are happy. You are not happy. These things do not make us happy. They might make other people happy, but not ourselves. So, with this kind of face, do you think God is much more foolish than us? Do you think he'll be happy? Okay, I will deal with that very briefly, then I will come to the questioning part. What's a mature personality? First, I give a quote which I came across many years back somewhere, I do not remember where. Growing old is mandatory, but growing up is a choice. Mandatory means it will happen. We grow old. But growing up is a different matter. We have to choose it. We have to cultivate it. So that's called growing up. A mature person is one who does not think only in absolutes. Is a million-dollar statement. We are always dealing with absolutes. God, mukti, moksha, forgetting where we are and what our next step is. A mature person is one who does not think only in absolutes, who is able to be objective even when deeply stirred emotionally, who has learned that there is both good and bad in all people and all things. And a mature person is one who walks humbly and deals charitably. Let us expand now. First, all saints are mature people. That is why Swami Vivekananda had titled Sri Ramakrishna Naravara, best of human beings. Who is the best of human being? A human being who doesn't suffer from any complex, neither superiority complex nor inferiority complex. He is just no complex at all. No saint will ever have any complex. You know why? Because he always identifies himself with the divine and not with human. Here are the characteristics of a major personality. A major personality, first, has a thorough knowledge of the workings of his mind. He knows both his assets and liabilities. That means he knows what his mind is. Second, he is an integrated personality. We are all split personalities. I mentioned it earlier, we are all split personalities. Into how many? Not two. Spiritual schizophrenics. Yes, one moment you are thinking of Ramakrishna, another moment you are thinking of Sai Baba, third moment you are thinking of Navarnava Mantra of Devi Sri Chakra. It is, we are flitting from one to the other. That is one type of split personality. The next is, inside this hall while listening to my talk, you are one personality. And the moment you step outside this hall, you are a totally different personality. In front of Swami, one personality. And outside, another personality. Outside this shrine. Outside the gate, a totally different personality. In the shop, a different personality. We all suffer from multiple personality syndrome. There is nothing wrong with it, excepting if it is not integrated. Swami Yatishananda Maharaj, very often he used to tell us that you must become integrated personality, then only there is any chance of your progressing. And he used to put in his own funny way. One young devotee came to him and said, Maharaj, I want to control my mind. In Bengali, the word for mind is mon. So he used to make pun. Is it mon or is it mon? Mon means, how many years? About 26 years or something. Means very heavy thing. Or is it a chatak? Chatak means only a few grams. First to make it real mon, and then we will talk about controlling it. Now supposing somebody comes to you and says, I have got bullock cart, and how to control a bullock cart? Do you need to control a bullock cart? The more speedier a vehicle, the need for brake control comes, isn't it? A bullock cart moves at 2-3 miles per hour. Do you need to control it? What is Maharaj saying? That first you develop a powerful mind, then you need control. Here there is no need. So, become integrated. A mature person accepts himself, loves himself, and takes responsibility for himself. Each statement is a very precious statement. Do we love ourselves? Do we accept ourselves? We don't. That's why so much cosmetic industry means what? Cosmetic industry means what? We don't accept as we are. We are always looking, you know, that person's nose is better. Who knows better? The cosmetic doctor's nose is much better. A major personality has a clearly defined philosophy and goal in life. Go on putting questions. Am I integrated? Do I accept myself? Do I love myself? Do I take responsibility for myself? Or am I delegating the responsibility so that I can blame the other person? A major person lives in the present, taking the past into consideration, and learning lessons. Do we live in now or do we live in future? When I retire, when I go to ashrama, when I do this, when I do that, what about now? Think over it. These are things to be thought over. A mature person is steadfast. Whatever happens, he would not give up what he had promised to himself. You know, when we do puja, we do something extremely valuable. This is called sankalpa. It's a very wonderful step. Before we do puja, we take a sankalpa, means it's a promise both to God and to myself. I will not give this effort, give up this effort until I complete this task. This is called sankalpa. I don't know, some of you might have seen it. The person puts a ring made out of kusha grass. If you probably will not notice it, but that is, there is also a small mantra that on this particular tithi, on this particular day, in this particular fortnight, this particular month, I am taking the vow, Vishnu Rom Tatsasya Amuke Mashi Amuke Tithau Amuke Nakshatre Sri Ramakrishna Priti Kamanaya Bhakti Jnana Viveka Vairagya Udayaya Sri Ramakrishna Puja Krityam Aham Karishyami. Sankalpa. Why am I mentioning? Because this sankalpa is a promise to God. And if we promise to God, usually we do not wish to break it. If we promise to ourselves, I don't know how long we are going to keep it. Because we do not have that much of faith in ourselves. What is the point here? Steadfast. How steadfast? Sri Ramakrishna gives beautiful illustration in the form of two yogis. I will not go into the story. But if you are devotee of Sri Ramakrishna and if you have read the gospel, you should remember it. Two yogis were performing tapasya. Narada was going to Vaikuntha and they sent a message that when is the Narayana going to come and give me his vision? You know the story. What is steadfastness? I enjoy thinking about God. It doesn't matter whether God wants to come or not. That is the idea. I will not give up whatever happens. If I am unhappy, I will not give up. Of course, if I am happy, I will not give up. But if I am not unhappy also, I will never give up, because that's what I promised to myself. An optimistic personality. A mature personality is always optimistic, cheerful, but realistic towards life and world. He's never a fool. We are what you call, and what is called hopeless imaginary people. Imagining. Life will go smoothly all the time. Who told you? Did Bhagavad Gita tell you? Did scriptures tell you? And did Vedas tell you? Did the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna tell you? Did Swami Vivekananda tell you? Did Holy Mother tell you? Or in fact, one of the greatest teachings of Holy Mother is, misery is the gift of God. Take that one and say, the Divine Mother is telling to whom? To worldly people or to devotees? He's telling to the devotees. If you are miserable, then it is a gift of God. If you are suffering, it's a gift of God. How could suffering be a gift of God? Because suffering takes us to God faster than happiness. Is it a fact? If when you are eating rasagulla, do you feel like thinking of God? What would be your thinking? I'm asking a question, interesting question. Beautiful rasagulla, you are eating it, and what would be your state? Will you be thinking of God? What would you be thinking? No. My point is, while you are eating, what is your thought? That is not true. When you are enjoying rasagulla, you become thoughtless. After it is over, then you become thoughtful. Yes, because the nature of happiness is to go beyond time, space, and causation. That is the truth. That is again another subject. What is happiness? I am not going to go into it. A mature personality, he is optimistic, cheerful, but realistic towards life, towards his own life, towards life in general and towards what happens in the world. A mature personality neither suffers from a superiority nor an inferiority complex. A mature person has sufficient self-control to sacrifice weaknesses and defects. Whereas we know a few of our weaknesses and defects. What are we doing about it? Practically nothing. We are hoping against hope that a miracle will come and I will become a saint. Today I am a stupid fellow, go to bed, and next morning I will wake up a fully realized soul. Where have you seen? It's not going to happen. A mature person constantly strives to improve himself without getting frustrated. Even if it takes billions of lives, he's not going to get frustrated. He will say, I have tried various ways. I know how they do not work. Let us try something else. A mature personality tries always to see the best in others. Beautiful psychology. What is the psychology? If I see the best in others, who will become best? Me or the others? I become better person because I am developing a very positive attitude. Nowadays, you know, books are coming. Power of positive thinking. All lectures are only our positive thinking. Not only that, realistically speaking, everybody has something which I do not have. Some respect, not even every respect, but some respect. And by logic, it also means I also have something which others do not have. But sometimes we feel inferior about it. No, that's very wrong attitude. There is something very good in us. There is also something best in the others. What is spirituality? We are not talking about spirituality. We are talking about a healthy human being mentally. He sees the best. In fact, he encourages the best. He derives inspiration from seeing the best. And he tries to imitate so that he can also develop without feeling jealous, etc. A mature personality forgives himself and others. Do we forgive ourselves? We do not forgive. If something we have done, that guilty feeling goes on, you know, creating so much. Life after life, the man goes on, making himself, of course, miserable, making other people also miserable. So we must have at least a little bit of charity and say, Swami Vivekananda used to say two things, you know. First thing, that spirituality is measured in terms of cheerfulness. The first sign of spiritual progress is we become cheerful. The second thing is to say, on any day if you feel a little bit, you know, frustrated, etc., don't come out of your room. Close all your doors and windows. Let no others get this infection. A mature person integrates evil and suffering as stepping stones to a better life. Swami Vivekananda has written a beautiful poem, Blessed Misery. I don't know how many of you read. Blessed Misery. Misery is a great blessing. And anybody who doesn't suffer from any misery, it is the worst curse upon that person. So, a mature person, he understands it is impossible to have a world which has only one side. If there is good, there would be evil. If there is light, there would be darkness. If there is life, there would be death. If there is happiness, there would be unhappiness. That is the very nature of life. And a mature person is one who accepts life as it is, not what imagines it to be. A mature person has the capacity to objectify himself. This is the greatest thing that we lack. We can never see as other people see us. If we could see ourselves as others would see, then we become very healthy persons, happier persons. A mature personality has a keen sense of humor without becoming a buffoon. Having humor is one of the characteristics of a mature personality. As it is said, if a person can learn to laugh at himself, he would never lack entertainment in life. Mature people have a realistic self-image of what they can do and are not threatened by their weaknesses. They are also able to laugh at their own weaknesses. Mature people have a clear sense of how they wish to live their lives. There are a long list of things. I will just read out a few. I will not comment. A mature person is able to keep long-term commitments. A mature person is unshaken by flattery or criticism. A mature person possesses a spirit of humility. A mature person's decisions are based on character, not feelings. A mature person expresses gratitude consistently. A mature person knows how to prioritize others before themselves. A mature person seeks wisdom before acting. Finally, a mature person is teachable. They don't presume they have all the answers. The wiser they get, the more they realize they need more wisdom. They are not ashamed of seeking counsel from adults, teachers, parents, coaches, or from other sources. Avadhuta. How did he become wise? He learned from how many gurus? Many number of gurus. It's only mentioned 24. Only the wise really seek wisdom. These are briefly some. Now think over it. Are we mature people? I don't want your answer. I know the answer. Right. So I spoke about what Swami Brahmananda said. What is it? First be a gentleman. These are all, they correspond to a gentleman, mature personality. Second, I am going to deal with Swami Yatishananda Maharaj. Constantly, he used to tell two things. The first thing is, find out your center of consciousness. Each one of us, our consciousness means our entire life is fixed upon something. It could be money, it could be sex, it could be power, it could be name, it could be position, something. Find out. Because what is spirituality? It is a journey from a lower state of lower truth to a higher truth. I would put it in a different way. Spiritual progress is the journey from a lower state of happiness to a higher state of happiness. Happiness, according to Sri Ramakrishna, is divided into three stages. He doesn't use the word happiness. He used the word ananda, vishayananda, the happiness we get from experiencing sense objects, bhajanananda. What is bhajanananda? Hearing bhajans. Now, nothing to do with hearing bhajans. Bhajanananda means it is leading a moral, righteous life. That is bhajanananda. And brahmananda. I put it slightly added two more stages, but basically they are. First stage is vishayananda. And the lower the ananda, it is quantitatively and qualitatively much less. The higher ananda, many times more, both qualitatively and quantitatively. Vishayananda. That is, the way we experience our five sense organs, when they come into contact with the sense objects, the experience we have. Positive experience. It could be negative also. Positive experience. It's called Vishayananda. Higher than that is, the happiness that one derives from understanding things called intellectual happiness called Medhananda. Medha. You all pray, you know, Medha. Medha Devi Jushamanana Agad Vishvachi Bhadra Sumanasyamana Tvaya Jushta Nudamana Duruktan Bruhatvati Mavitate Suvira. It is called Medha Shukta, not Bengali Shukta. Shukta means Vedic Shukta. Sukta means Su-ukta, well expressed, well said. Sri Shukta, Saraswati Shukta, Ratri Shukta, Narayana Shukta, Purusha Shukta. These are all beautiful hymns. There is a Medha Sukta, prayer for right understanding, which is Gayatri. Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. May I have right understanding. This is called Medha Ananda. Third is called Kalananda. Kala means aesthetic happiness. Any form of art, aesthetic happiness, Kalananda. And the next is called Dharmananda. That's what is equal to Bhajanananda. Not simply, you know, just you sing somewhere, a little bit, you know, nice music, etc. So that is much higher, nearer to Brahmananda. Finally, it is Brahmananda, God experience, joy of God. So how many? Vishayananda, Medhananda, Kalananda, Dharmananda, and Brahmananda. Five. Now, coming back, that Swami Yatishananda Maharaj used to say, find out your center of consciousness and slowly shift it to a higher center. That is called spiritual practice. So, first find out, then shift. What is the way to shift? He used to say, develop awareness. Constantly be aware of three things. What you are doing, what you are talking, what you are thinking, especially motives. We are not sure, you know, why we react, act and react. One person comes and you react one way. And at the same time, another person comes, you react in a totally opposite way. Are you aware? Why this shift? One person, your bloom, your face blooms. Another person, gloom. Blooming and glooming. BP to BP. Blood pressure to blood pressure. Blood pressure to blood pressure. This business. Yes, find out your motive. Be aware of your actions, your speech, and your thoughts or motives. Okay, this is the second part. Very important part. Find out your center of consciousness. That means, just you know, I'll give an example to make this easier to understand. Suppose a person is glutton. And you unfortunately come across that person. And you want to talk about whatever you talk, he will bring it down to food only. You talk about God, Sri Ramakrishna. You know, yes, yes. The other day I attended Durga Puja. The food was fantastic. He has the capacity, any subject, he will bring centered around only food. Where is his center of consciousness? Food. Yeah, watch people, what they are watching. And you will see different people have different center of consciousness. Then shift it. That is called spiritual practice, spiritual progress. The more, the higher the center of consciousness, the more. And this is a wonderful subject again, but I will just give you a hint. You know, according to tantras, there are 7 chakras. Sri Ramakrishna graphically describes when the kundalini rises from a lower chakra to a higher chakra, what changes come in the experiences of such a person. Usually the first 3 chakras, it is concerned with eating, drinking and sex happiness. Real, true spiritual progress starts only with anahata chakra, the heart chakra, then everything is a different light altogether. I am not going to go into the details, but what I want to tell, what, find out your center of, in which chakra it is. Chakra, by the way, you know what is chakra? is not something which is fixed in the body. It's not nothing to do with the physical body. It is a state of consciousness. What is a chakra? A state of consciousness. A state of consciousness is a state how we experience reality. Now, the third part. I'm coming to the third part. I said that the topic I changed. First, are you a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna? Remove Sri Ramakrishna because we are not talking about Sri Ramakrishna's devotees only. We are talking about a devotee. A devotee is a bhakta, a devotee of God. In any religion, it doesn't matter. But instead of saying, are you a devotee of God? We have to ask ourselves, am I a devotee of God? Ask yourself. Get up early in the morning and ask yourself, am I a devotee of God? And your heart responds without hesitation, yes, I am a devotee of God. That is the sure sign you are not a devotee of God. No devotee of God would ever think I am a devotee of God. I wish to become a devotee of God. And I have to work hard to become a devotee of God. This is the truth. Because we have to fulfill so many conditions before we could be called a devotee of God. You read the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He who has these qualities, he is a dear devotee of mine. Who says? God gives the certificate. One devotee should never certify the other devotees. It is like scratching each other's back. Much less, a Swami should never give a certificate to the devotee. Yes, you are a devotee of God. Normal, transaction, normal transaction. You say, yes, this is introducing, this is a devotee of God. That's okay, but don't take it too seriously. Don't take anything seriously. When somebody tells you are beautiful, don't take it seriously. When somebody says you are a good person, don't take it seriously. When somebody says you are very, very kind, don't take it seriously. You know, funnily, you know, is every sannyasi, Ramakrishna order sannyasi and others also, we get names. There was one Swami who was always restless on the move. His guru gave him the name Achalananda. Chala means he who moves. Never stops moving. So his guru has given him the name Achalananda. What is the point? That would be your goal. So Dayatmananda. Oh, your name is compassionate. I said, no. My guru understood I am not compassionate. He wants me to remind, me again. That's my goal, ultimate goal. So let us always remember, we are not devotees. We are here to become devotee of God. Because a devotee of God is a liberated soul. A true devotee of God is none other than God himself. How do you know? Scripture itself tells us, Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. A man who has the knowledge of Brahman. What does he become? Brahman. Again, this is a wonderful philosophy. We are not bodies, we are ideas. We are ideas. I'll give a simple hint. Supposing a person loves, let us say chicken or a fish. What is fish now? It is a fish or is it an idea? It's an idea. What is the idea? This is a very pleasure-giving object. Nothing to do with fish or anything. Pleasure-giving object. So you see a person, you say, oh, this is a beautiful person. It's an idea. What is the idea? I have nothing to do with beauty or ugliness. Beauty and ugliness is only in the eyes of the beholder. In Telugu language we say, kaki pilla, kaki ki muddu. The young one of a crow, the most beautiful one in the eyes of its mother. Noyanamoni. Bangalate polena, Noyanamoni. The jewel of my heart. So beauty is not outside. Beauty is how we feel. Idea. We are all ideas. You see a person. Oh, I don't like to mix with this person. What is the idea? He's an unpleasant person. He will bring only unpleasantness. Oh, this is very nice person. Means that person makes me very happy person. We are not dealing with anything. Your nose is beautiful, so I love you. No, no. It has nothing to do. It has something to do with the idea. We are all ideas. I'll give good illustration, you know. Dale Carnegie gives a beautiful, how to make friends and influence people. Suppose a lady wants to catch a fish. She goes fishing. But she decorates herself beautifully and goes fishing. Is the fish interested in her? If she wants to catch fish, she must give what the fish likes, isn't it? It's all fishy business. Very interesting. The point is, if you want to make friends, find out what that person is interested in and speak. That is what happens, you know. In devotees are not interested. So I have to give him what he is or she is seeking. I go on talking Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The person has no interest at all in it. Yeah. So miracles, you know, Sri Ramakrishna made that miracle. Oh, the eyes pop open. This is a little bit. But if I talk about ghosts, my God, hours together people are interested in it. I don't know why these ghosts create so much of interest. Anyway, what is the point I am making? We are all not persons. We look ideas. So to give an example, supposing, you know, you are walking nicely after nicely taking bath, decorating yourself and all those things. You are walking in a forest and a hungry tiger looks at you. What is it looking? Your beauty. What is it looking? Beautiful food. Today, whose face I have seen today morning? God is so gracious. What is the point? The point is, we are all ideas. Anyway, coming back, ask the question, am I a devotee? Definitely no. But I would like to become a devotee. So the next question is, so I have to pray, oh Lord, I would wish to become your devotee, but how do I become a devotee? Show me the way. And God said, yes, I will show you the way. How did he show the way? So many things. I can quote so many things. If you are practicing yoga, yama and niyama, practice this. I'll give you very briefly. If you are following Ramanujacharya, he had given 7 steps. Viveka, Vimoka, Abhyasa, Kriya, Kalyana, Anudharsha and Anavasada. I will take only 2, the last 2. If you want to be a devotee, anudharsha, never get excited about anything, little bit, okay, no more than that. And whatever happens, even the most tragic event, do not become depressed. A little bit, yes, okay, human nature. But beyond that, that's not the characteristic of a devotee. Anudharsha means not getting excited. Anavasada means not getting depressed. We have to have a balance. If we do not at all react, then we are not human beings, like a piece of stone. No, we must react, but at the same time, it should be in balance. The whole Gita teaching, Sitoshna, Sukadukesh, Samasanga Vivarjita, Tulyaninda Astitur Mauni, Santushto Yenakena Chit, Aniketa Stiramatir, Bhakti Manme Priyo Naraha. In heat and cold, in defeat and victory and defeat, in happiness and unhappiness, in friendship and enmity, whatever be the circumstances, there must be samatvam yoga uchyate. Bhagavan Krishna had given 3 beautiful definitions of balance, samatvam, yoga, definition of yoga. You are all students of yoga. Maharaj has taken class twice, thrice. So if you have not kept in mind, I don't know what you have understood. So three definitions of yoga. The first, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga is dexterity in action. That means whatever action we do, that must lead us to God. That is called dexterity. Samatvam yoga vichyate. Whatever be the circumstances, my mind will be serene. Also, Bhagavan gives another name for that. Prasada. Prasade sarvadukhanam hanirasyopajayate. Beautiful exposition. Prasada means what? That which brings about calmness, serenity, and deep understanding, that is called prasada. That's why we take prasada. Mind becomes serene because it is God. The third definition is even if a person is overwhelmed with the greatest suffering in this world, then his mind remains at the feet of God. It will not be disturbed. That is another definition of yoga. Anyway, what am I talking about? Balance. This is the Ramanuja's seven-stepped ladder to become a devotee of God. Sri Ramakrishna's five commandments. If you want to be a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, five commandments. What are those five commandments? The very first chapter it comes. Do you know what are the commandments? If you don't know, then it's a matter of pity. What are the five commandments? The first commandment. Always think of God. That should be the goal. How to achieve it? Four paths. Cultivate holy company. That is the first commandment. Uchi yoga. Cultivate holy company. Bhakti yoga. Now and then go into solitude and call upon God intensely with yearning. Uchi yoga. Raja yoga. Always practice discrimination. Viveka. What is permanent and what is temporary. Uchi yoga. Jnana yoga. So my definition of what is viveka. Anything can happen to anybody, at any time, at any place, in any way. Do not expect everything will be absolutely fine. Anything can happen at any time. That is what Yudhishthira says in the Yaksha Prashna. Ahanyahani bhutani gachanti yama mandiram seshah sthavar michanti kimascharyam ataparam. Every day millions die. And the rest of the people never think that death is ever going to approach them. This is what could be more wonderful than this delusion. Anyway, I'm not going to into it. But what am I talking about? What is the fourth commandment? Or third commandment? Always practice discrimination. Uchi yoga? Jnana yoga. Then M asks Sri Ramakrishna, Sir, how to live in this world? You all know that. Live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. That means nothing belongs to her. Nothing belongs to us. Our husband, our wife, children, house, parents. Everybody belongs only to God. Practice this every day. And which yoga is that? Karma yoga. So you see, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga. Take any path. All the others will come. These are the five commandments. If you are a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, then you must practice these five commandments. If you are a devotee of Holy Mother, there are four commandments. You know that. My child, if you want peace of mind, here peace means brahmajnana. Knowledge. Not talking about temporary calmness of mind. Here shanti means the ultimate peace of mind. Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam charati nispruha nirmamo nirahankara saha shantim adhigachati. Esha brahmi stiti partha nainam prapya vimuhyati antakalepi brahma nirvana mrachati. That is the shanti. Shanti means knowledge of Brahma, knowledge of myself, self-knowledge, God-realization, whatever name you, that is called Shanti. So, if you want peace of mind, she gave four commandments. What is the first commandment? You all know it. stop finding fault with others. First commandment. Second commandment, start finding fault with yourself. What is the third commandment? No one is a stranger, because everything is nothing but God. And then what is the fourth commandment? Make the whole world your own. Then only shanti will come. Beautiful exposition in simplistic words of the first mantra of Isavasya Upanishad. Isavasya medagum sarvam etkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjitha magrida kasya svidhanam. Holy Mother has put it in her own beautiful, inimitable language. Okay, so if you are a devotee of Holy Mother, you will have to practice. Now you ask yourself, am I a devotee of Sri Krishna? Then you will follow five commandments. Am I a devotee of Holy Mother? Then you follow the four commandments. We have to pray this one. Okay. Then next. I will go through it quickly because we know these things easy to understand. Do you criticize other people? Either verbally or inside your mind. Do you criticize? Do you find fault with others? I'm not asking the answer. I'm just asking you, put yourself to this question, am I criticizing? Then you are not a devotee. Huh? You're not a devotee. You say you have to follow. Then do you gossip? You know what is gossip? It means useless things. The moment I saw it from here, how is your grandson? How is my grandson, your grandson, my grandson's grandchildren and your grandson's grandchildren, they are playing together and I see all these things. Stupid, useless and disturbing type of, this is called gossip. Then, backbiting. Criticism is one way. Backbiting is, criticism is general. And what is called backbiting is specific. Name a particular person and behind that person's back you go on doing it, this is called backbiting. Ask simply one question, do I criticize, do I gossip, do I find fault and do I do backbiting? If you are, stop it. Pray and stop it. Okay, the next. Are you wasting? First, time. Second, energy. Third, your company. Yesterday we discussed Sri Ramakrishna. The moment he became serious about spiritual life, he stopped. He would not waste a single second. He would not waste his energy on anything unnecessary. And he was extremely cautious about what type of company he wants to keep. Third, put all these questions to be put. Do you delight in? Do you delight in or do I delight in holy company, holy books, holy talks, holy conversation? How do I know? Because when you are in the holy company, you feel thinking of God. When you are reading holy book, you are absorbed. You don't want to come to a stop. When you are listening to some holy talks and you are paying all the attention. And whenever you meet somebody, so-called devotees, we are not talking about worldly people, then what type of conversation you have? What type of dialogues you have? So, do you delight? Does it give you happiness in thinking about spiritual people? Some funny thing I have to tell you about myself, you know. We all Swamis have this experience. Some people come, they want to have my company and they don't want spirituality. How to get rid of them? The moment they come in, I start Upanishadik, Brihadaranyakam, Swayam Jyoti, Brahmana, etc. Within 5 minutes they say, Swamiji, I have got a phone call, urgent work, and then they disappear. Easiest way of getting rid of these fellows is start a deep philosophical subject. I found it extremely effective. Yeah, otherwise, you know, they are quite happy. So, do you delight in holy company, holy books, holy talks, holy conversation? Then, the next question. How do I look upon? This is the heading. How do I look upon others criticizing me? You know, if you are thinking that nobody criticizes me, that is the stupidest, dumbest mind in the whole world. Yeah. You know who is the being who is criticized the most? You know? God. Everybody criticizes God. What do you lack? You could have given a little more. After your God, what do you lose? You are like an ocean. Why is it itna kanjushi kyun karte ho? Yeah, if you are gracious, you say, yes, okay, but a little more, you know, less kanjushiness would have been wonderful, appropriate. Is God kanjushi? No. He gives full, but have we got the capacity to receive? That is the question. Anyway, how do you look upon others criticizing us? Do you take cudgels and then go on, you know, you don't talk to him, you don't look at him, and then you pray to God, I don't want to do anything bad to him. But if it happens naturally, I would be extremely delighted. All these things. Others criticizing. When suffering comes, inevitably suffering comes. In everybody's life, it is no exception. Worldly people, it all comes. There are three types of suffering, or three causes of suffering. You know what are they? Natural suffering, cold, heat, earthquakes, tsunamis, and you know, mosquitoes. This is a common thing, natural thing to everybody. I have to tell you something very important, you know. There are so many devotees who go on biting everybody. They are, one thing is samadarshis. They bite everybody. Swamis, devotees, other devotees, everybody they bite. So some devotee asked me, how come they are devotees of Thakur and how come that they are biting? My only understanding is, when Sri Ramakrishna was alive, he used to go to answer calls of nature, and these fellows were mosquitoes. They used to bite him. And so because they had drunk the holy blood, they have become devotees. But the old samskara of biting has not disappeared. I don't see any other explanation. So, how do I look upon sufferings when suffering comes? Do you think that, you know, God is specially focusing and bringing suffering to ourselves? No, it is common first cause. Second cause is karmic. If any suffering comes, I have contributed my share. This is all what we all believe, isn't it? Karmic. How many causes we discussed so far? Natural and karmic. What is the third one? When God's special grace comes, He will create special situation where we suffer more. For what purpose? Like drastic surgeons, drastic operation. Terrible suffering will come when God's grace comes. This is what I call fast tracking. You know, in airports, so if you have got a wheelchair or something, they will take you through another route. They won't take in the normal route. Like that, when God wants to take us to nearer to Him, He creates a special fast tracking, and that's very painful. And He creates it only for devotees. Karmic suffering, worldly suffering, natural suffering is for common to everybody. These are the causes. So how do I look upon when sufferings come? How do I look upon when life's dark side manifests? You know, we all have to go through accidents, incidents. We have become so stupid that we want to cover our eyes, this corpse, with roses, with beautiful flowers. Somebody has become old, we don't want to be called old. Senior citizen, you know. Even an old person doesn't want to be called old. Old woman does not want to be called. Old man should be called man. Old woman should be called what? Not woman, girl. I don't see any reason why we should go through that stupidity. Old age, body is old, we become old. There are some infirmities will be there. Accept it, do your best. And that is one of the characteristics of devotee. Then do you forget a painful fact? Life is full of these incidents. Something happens, somebody dies. Maybe father, maybe mother, maybe wife, maybe husband, maybe child. Anything can happen at any time. So, can you forget it? If you do not forget it, are you a devotee of God? Put this question to you. Am I a devotee of God? Then what should be my? Okay, you grieve. There is a decent period. Grieve. Then the next. If someone had given us pain, can we forgive that person? Can we pray for the welfare of that person? A devotee's natural reaction would be what? Why does the person do it? Because of ignorance or because of our karmic result. Or it may be God's will. But in any case, what should be our reaction? Can we forgive that person? Think over it. I am not expecting an answer. You question, you answer. Do I forgive people who have offended me? Or do I even pray for the people who have offended me or even consistently going on giving? So even after my forgiving and praying, do you think some people don't stop it? It's not a past event. It is an ever-recurring present event. So do I do that one? That's very important. Fourth, headline. Are you attached? What? To what? To money, to sex, to pleasures, to persons, to friends, to swamis, to religion, to deity. Religious intolerance. Devotees. But why religious intolerance? Everybody is calling upon the same God. This is Ramakrishna's main, one of the important messages. Sarva Dharma Samanmaya. So, are you attached to money? If you are attached, then you won't be generous, you will be miserly. Are you attached to sex? Find out. Sri Ramakrishna's teaching is very clear on this matter. If there is attachment, acknowledge it and try to overcome it. No point putting everything under the carpet. Pleasures, any type of pleasure, because these are the obstacles to spiritual progress. Are you specially attached to persons, some persons? Why? Are you attached to your friends? Why? Are you attached to some swamis? Do you discriminate one swami against the other swami? Yes, one swami talks to you very nicely and the other swami doesn't. Next time, first time. There is a first time for everything. Next time, where would you gravitate? Towards the first Swami or towards the second Swami? That is the naivest understanding we have got. Swamis are also human beings. Swamis also discriminate the devotees. Anyway, I'm telling you my secret, you know. Some person came and then the person was not getting any chance because other persons were making pranams. That lady wants to make pranams, but he taking time. And she was getting distressed. I shouted at her, look, I don't care for pranam. I care for pranami. Have you brought anything? So, seriously, swamis are also attracted to some people, attached to some people, whether it's devotees or not. By the way, we interact with each other. We have to be frank. There is no other way. Swamis are also trying to be devotees, want to be spiritual people. Nobody is perfect. So, ask this question. Are you attached? If you are attached, if the answer is yes, I should not say if. The answer is yes. Then find out how to spiritualize, how to move forward. Love, but do not be attached. That is the idea. We have already thought this headline. Are you aware of your actions, your speech and your thoughts and your motives? Do you look down upon anybody. Last, I already mentioned this, Anudarsha and Anavasada. Ramanuja's, the last sixth and seventh steps to become a good devotee. This he brings up in his commentary, called Sri Bhashya of the Brahma Sutra Bhashya. Viveka, Vimoka, Abhyasa, Kriya, Kalyana. Five. I'm not going to deal with that. But Anudarsha and Anavasada. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful illustration. There was a farmer. He had a son. And one day when the farmer was working in the fields, somebody came running and said, "Sir, your son is dead." Of course he came home. His wife was weeping her eyes out. But there was not even one single tear in the eyes of the farmer. So the wife got enraged and said, "You don't have any love for your son. Our only son died and you don't have one single tear." The farmer was a gnani. Then he said, "Look here, yesterday night I had a dream in which I was a king. I had most beautiful seven princes. Shall I, now when the dream ended, shall I weep for those seven princes? Shall I weep for this monkey faced?" That's my addition, you know, it is not there in the gospel. "Monkey faced son of ours." Why did Sri Ramakrishna give this illustration? Do you think he is making fun? This should be our attitude. Bhagavan de diya, Bhagavan le liya. I would end this talk with one beautiful story. There was a couple, married couple, who were the disciples of Swami Shivanandaji Maharaj. They had one son, 4 or 5 years old son. And he died suddenly. The mother was distraught. She went to Pillur Mat with her husband. The husband was also distraught, but he was not expressing it. And this lady caught hold of the feet of Mahapurush Maharaj and went on weeping, weeping. He was trying to console, but she would not be consoled. After some time, he became very serious and then said, "What do you want?" She said, "If I could only see my son once more." Mahapurush Maharaj looked at Sri Ramakrishna's picture and said, "Yes, you will see." So the mother got a little bit consolation and they took leave of Mahapurush Maharaj and went away. Now the attendant, who was also a disciple of Mahapurush Maharaj, he was witnessing this incident. He was thinking, as this old man lost his brains, if anybody is dead, is it possible for anyone else to see that person? We have never heard about these things. And this man simply said, "Yes, you will see." Anyway, we don't have the courage to criticize our guru, you know. We have our own doubts about gurus. That is a different issue. But we don't have the courage. And we have doubts about our swamis, about gurus, about everybody we have doubts. So the attendant did not say anything. After a few days, the couple came back. This time the attendant noticed that the face of the woman was transformed. It was beaming with joy. So they came, they took his blessing, spoke for some time, then they were departing. The attendant ran after this lady and said, "Ma, last time what I saw you, what I see today, like heaven and hell. So what happened?" He said, "By the grace of my guru, I was able to see my son. One day I was meditating and I had a vision. My son was joyfully playing with Bhagavan Krishna." Then she said, "When I saw my son so joyfully playing, what else do I want? Every mother wants only happiness of her child." Then I said, "It is all Thakur's grace. My son is with God. I have nothing to grieve over. this transformation has taken place. Why am I telling this one? Because losing some beloved is a very common thing. But we do not let it go. To let go is one of the characteristics of the devotee. Why? Because for many reasons, I will give you only two reasons. One reason is everyone in this world comes into this world because of what? Karma phala. We all come together and then we get separated. All because of what? Karma phala. And we all talk about it and yet we do not follow our own faith. This is the first reason. Second reason is if I am a devotee of God, I have faith. Everything happens by the will of God. So if God decided someone is going to go to a better place, definitely if the person is a devotee, he will go to a better place. What is there for me to worry about? I only pray to God that may you go to higher and higher state and become free. Is that not what we want? Why do we want to keep everybody attached and making them suffering and we also suffer? That should not be the attitude of a devotee. Anyway, let me summarize. I spoke about what is the subject? Am I a devotee of God? Put this question. Every day, am I a devotee of God? Never say, I am a devotee of God. Always say, I would like to be a devotee of God. It is a journey from a lower state of devotion to a higher state of devotion, gradually. So we have to overcome certain obstacles, problems. What is the first thing? First, let me become a gentleman. I said three stages. One is, my mind should be healthy mind. Second, I must follow a dharmic path. Then only I can talk about spiritual progress. So I spoke about mature personality. Second, I brought up the topic, what Swami Yatishanand Maharaj used to say, find out your center of consciousness. And usually it would be only a worldly thing. World, some object in the world. Either body or mind, intellectual happiness or something or the other. What is the effort? That we should shift it from a lower chakra to a higher chakra. And in order to do that, every day we have to put a question ourselves. What is the question? Certain topics I have dealt with. That how do I take up on life? Do I waste my time, energy? What type of company I keep? And do I criticize? Do I gossip? Do I find fault? Do I backbite? Do I discriminate? Am I specially attached to certain persons or places or events, etc.? And the final question to remind ourselves is, am I strictly following the commandments of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother? And this is the important point here. Every day, instead of doing your normal mechanical japam, first put, this is called CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, affirmations. Oh Lord, I want to become a devotee. Then remind, what are the commandments? So that will be a reminder to me. And then, let us spend whole day trying to approximate. And then in the evening, Swami Brahmananda used to say, before going to bed, review the whole day. And say, what are the five commandments? Was I able to follow at least something? And if such a thing is again going to happen in future, let me try to practice it without forgetting next time. This is the most important point of my talk today. These affirmations, let us keep the commandments of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother and pray that let us become devotees of God. And practicing these commandments is the way to become real devotee of God. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Shritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu.
For the last 3 days, we had a continuous festival of laughter and joy. Swami Dayatmananji Maharaj has an inexhaustible store of very interesting stories, anecdotes, combined with some spiritual aspect, of course. We are very grateful to Maharaj for having agreed to come to visit us. We would like for him to come again, but he has decided to go to India for retirement. From here, Maharaj is going Tuesday to Cedar Rapids. For after a few days from there, he'll go to Detroit, and then he'll go back to UK. From there, he'll go back to India. Swamiji has decided to retire from active service and stay in India. It's both good and bad. We miss his presence here close to us. So we miss his presence, but from his point of view, it's a good thing to continue spiritual practices. We are very, very grateful to Maharaj for having come and spent some time with us, given us great joy. On a personal level, I first met Swamiji in May 1987, when he was in Bangalore, also Ashrama. That day, I was impressed very much by Swamiji's compassion. I met him for the first time, and I had taken sannyas recently, a little bit before that. And when I went to Alasur Ashrama, that day, the cook had not come. The person who was supposed to prepare lunch had not shown up. And there were 2-3 retired Swamis over there, Sadhunivas. And Maharaj prepared the food, served food to all of us. And then I requested him for advice on spiritual life, and he spent a lot of time giving me very practical, useful instructions on spiritual life. So I'm very grateful to Maharaj. And we wish him a long life and good health and all spiritual enlightenment. And we are very happy and thankful that he could come and spend some time with us. Next week, a week from today, you come back to our real world. You'll hear Swami Brahma Rupanda speaking on the sage of steady wisdom. The good news is that that will be the last session on this topic. So you don't have to listen to me anymore about the sage of steady wisdom. And afterwards, we'll think of some new topic. That will be next Sunday. And as usual, we have our weekly classes. Wednesday evening class, Viveka Chudamani, Swami Atmagananji will do the class. And Friday class will be, next Friday will be 18th of May. It will be on, class will be on Bhagavad Gita. Ramnam we already had, and after this meeting, I request all of you to go downstairs for refreshments, and Swamiji will be there. You can talk to him, ask more questions. Full lunch will be there for everybody downstairs. So that's very good. So let us all go downstairs. I join Swami Atmagananji in wishing all of you happy Mother's Day. Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Matru Rupena Samsthita Namastasyai 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 Namo Namaha. I bow down to the Divine Mother, present in all beings as the element of motherhood and love. And thank you for being with us. All of you devotees are the most important part of this ashrama. What do we do without devotees? Building two Swamis sitting here. It's you, the devotees, who come here, joyfully participate, and make this center a real happy center. Thank you for all. I'll say the closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve Santu Niramayah. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om. May all be happy. May all be free from sufferings. May the blessings of God be upon us always. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.